Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 11. We're in lesson 7, by the way, of the book of Ephesians. And we left off in verse 10. And it says that in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase possession unto the praise of his glory. Now in verse 11, in whom also, who is that whom? That's who he's talking about, isn't it? God the Father is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given him all things. And we have an inheritance. This is in addition to being accepted without blame, holy, redeemed, sin forgiven, all wisdom, a mind of Christ, and adoption. This is something else on top of all that. We already got that up front, don't we? So plus we have received the inheritance of God, purpose for his son, which he is an heir of how many things? All things. Jesus Christ, God the Father is going to give Jesus Christ the heir of all things. We know that's not happened yet, don't we, guys, by studying your Bible. We know he came to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He died a sinless death. But was he the Lord of lords when he walked this earth? His own people said, we don't want you. Okay, so he had to die and was buried and rose again. He started explaining to them that first comes the sufferings, then the glory. So he came for one purpose only, is to die, to redeem mankind. And we get this also because we are in Christ. That's what Paul's message is. You're being in Christ, and we should be praising God with that. Amen. You know, we are an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Now, this is God's will, his own sovereign will, if you will, a counsel of his own. Now, think about this. Some people distort that verse that we're reading and by saying God predestinated everything in eternal past. What do you know as Bible believers, as dispensational Bible believers, what God predestinated in times past? Through Paul's message, he predestinated a body. Okay? He didn't predestinate you being in that body. That's what Calvinism says. He predestinated a body of Christ, and you trust what he did for you, and then he places you in that body. You with me? Otherwise, you're not in that body. What we were talking about earlier, about that soul, God's conscience. He gives everybody a conscience. But your spirit, according to Ephesians, we're going to look at some things, you know, on down the road. Ephesians says you was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants. Your spirit was cut off from God. But think about this. When you think he knew and made everything to happen when it happened. People says that, don't they? God says this, but think about this. That's a heresy. Because did he make you sin? That's what that would be saying. If God predestinated everything you're going to do and everything you're going to say and everything, and you go out here and sin today, you're saying God put that in you. He didn't put that in you. You already got that by that nature, amen? That spirit and that soul, once you believe Christ died for your sin, that's changed. That old man, that new man, put on, take off. But the counsel of his will, God's purpose at work today, is about restoring a corrupt universe. That's what it's talking about here. We've already learned some things in Romans about who you are in Christ, the doctrine that's for your salvation. Now this is talking about a corrupt universe that God is going to take control again. That's what Acts 20:27, you don't have to turn there yet, but we're going to go through some verses. Acts 20:27 says, all the counsel of God, Paul describes. All the counsel of God. Not just what he's saying about the heavenly places, but all the counsel of God. And that's a detail of everything in the world. God is not responsible for everything that happens to you and I. He's not. I'd be scratching off, what is it called? Tickets. Lottery tickets, hoping that, you know, I'd get something. But what is that? That's a chance, isn't it? I keep thinking about that Samaritan. And now that priest, it says he got up in the morning and chose to go down that path. He chose to go down that path. So we can make choices in our own life, you know, and God's not in it, if you can say that, if I can say it without making anybody upset or whatever. But at the same time, is we make choices based on the Word of God inside of us. We can know what God's doing, and He can tell us what He's doing through His Word. But look,
free will.
We're going to look at that here in a little bit. She just mentioned something about free will. God never violates your free will, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. That's the first institution God laid out. If that was true, he would have grabbed Adam up by the hair of the head and said, you ain't doing this. But he says, there it is. You can eat of every tree of the garden, but this right here. Eve was deceived. Adam made a choice. You know, you think about Luke 7, where the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God. That's what we're talking about here a little bit. They rejected the counsel. When John the Baptist came called out in the wilderness, it says all of Jerusalem and Judea was baptized of him, except lawyers. They rejected the counsel of God. That was God's counsel, God's will. God has the eternal purpose that will work just like he said it will work. And in this eternal purpose, God did not make a man a robot, but instead he gave him his free will to choose. That's wonderful. You know, you choose to be here today. You could choose to stay home and watch the Browns win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. But you know what I'm talking about? But you choose to be here. I loved how Rhonda mentioned a couple weeks ago how this is what she looks forward to every Sunday. You know, to be here. And when a lot of us are not, it kind of hurts your heart, don't it,
mm-hmm.
Rhonda? Don't Maggie? You know, because you know why? Because you yearn for the fellowship of the around the same doctrine. I appreciate that. I really do. God foreknew everything. He really did. That's what it says, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
But did he predestinate everything? You should know the answer to that. If we want to respond and line up our will with His will, then we get in the book, study, believe, and by faith apply that sound doctrine that's stored up in our soul. And we can start to understand some things. Some things I can't, you know, me and Brother Ken and many others talk about some things like that, and I don't know all the answers. And I don't claim to know all the answers. But I know that when I line my wheel up with God's will, it seems like everything gets a little better, you know. But when I go against my, when I say, no, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do, then God says, okay, go ahead and do it. But this is what may happen. You go that choice down that highway at 78, 90 mile an hour on a one-way street, chances are you may not get through it. Ephesians 1:12. That we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye are so trusted. That's in verse 13. This is a reference to all believers in the body that were saved after Paul. False teachings, many of you have been in this, false teachings has referred this as first trusted Christ as the Jewish believers in Pentecost, using verses like Acts chapter 2, verses 6 through 18. Okay? There were some believers there who trusted Christ, but this is not what Paul's talking about. And the verses like in Romans 16:7, where it says, who were in Christ before me? Now, they was people in Christ before Paul. How could that have happened? If Paul says, in me first, Christ showed. In me first, I'm a pattern to those who believe hereafter. So how are they in Christ before Paul? Talk to me.
Under Christ, when he came.
They're in Christ, but there's a program, wasn't there?
Kingdom.
See, that's what God was doing back then through Christ, is put them in Christ. So they're in Christ, guys, but they're not in the body of Christ. And that throws everybody off, like, wait a minute, there's only one church, and there's only one body. Yeah, there's only one body, but there's three churches. There was a church in the wilderness, there's a kingdom church, and then a church, the body of Christ. And all three of them's different, but Christ is the issue here. Mm-hmm. They're in Christ. So, remember, in Christ does not always mean in the body of Christ. And you guys been in religion all through your life, and everybody talks about being in the body, don't they? Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about being in Christ. But you look at that doctrine and what you know now and understand what Paul, the apostle of grace, and Moses, the apostle of the law, and see what the distinctions are. But remember that. An example, the little flock, like I was just saying, of believers are in Christ. They're in Christ, but not in the body of Christ. You know, there's been people come through these doors, believe the 12 here, 12 apostles, are in the body of Christ. Okay? And some of you shaking your head like that ain't true. But they believe that. And there's doctrines out there, and there's organizations and societies believe that. But that's not true. Because Paul was the 13th apostle. Paul was separated from the other apostles. Paul was separated from his mother's womb. And that's not a natural womb. That's the mother of Israel. So God separated him from Israel and become a new apostle. And like I said before, in me first. So that's why he went to Galatians in Acts chapter 15. And he confronted Peter, Paul, and James. They're the preachers of the circumcision. Paul's a preacher of the uncircumcision. See how? There's differences there. There's contrast. And it's our responsibility as Bible believers to understand that and be able to show that out there. Now, when you do, let me warn you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get the right foot of fellowship. You know, they're going to march you. They're going to mark you and say, stay away from that guy. But stay away. And they'll convince you that where you're at is right and the Bible's wrong, and you'll just sit there. And in your own mind, I guarantee you, in your mind, you're thinking, there's something to this. That's what happened to us. And I started believing the Bible over man's, over the fellowship, over the coffee and the donuts, you know, that type of thing. And I said, this is right. And that's all that matters. And I hope you're the same way. When you believe this is right, you don't worry about who's behind you. The Lord's on my side. And when I turn around, you're here. You with me?
Yeah.
When you turn around, there's somebody who's always been. The body of Christ, we was talking about this the other night. The body of Christ, God always dealt with remnants, guys. All through the Bible. A tenth here, a tenth there. You know, just small remnants. So don't get caught up in this big old massive movement, you know, just because they say God is in there, stuff's happening. It's programs. It's programs. I love how the brother talked of in Chicago, Richard, he talked about when you pull up in the driveway, you unscrew your head and leave it in the glove box because you don't need it when you walk in there. He's going to do all your thinking for you and take, and you walk back out and you screw it back on, you go. Here, I hope you understand you need that book, don't you, Maggie? You need to understand who you are in Christ and how to study it and all. But you think about that. In fact, all saved believers in any dispensation are in Christ. Period. In Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what the Satan hates.
Satan preys on our ignorance.
And he'll feed that. See, and not only Satan will feed that ignorance, we feed that ignorance. You know, we was talking about some things. I need to read more. I need to expand my mind more. But sometimes when I go to bed, I'm watching ESPN. You know, and how, you know, I'm not feeding my brain with good stuff, am I? No. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of what?
Promise.
You break this down for a second, and you're going to go out and share some things with people. And how you get saved, you must hear the gospel. Now, what do you know about the gospels? That's a gospel. There's a gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of uncircumcision. There's lots and lots of gospels. But what gospel can you hear that's going to save you today?
Gospel of grace.
The gospel of Christ, that he came what?
Died.
He died and buried and rose again. That's the gospel that Paul proclaimed to all. Because if you know your Bible, by the time Paul was saved, Israel's program was fallen. That's what the book of Acts is about. And there's a lot of people, 90% of the religion out there will base their belief in Acts chapter 2, and they won't read the rest of it. And that book is a transitional book, and it shows you the fall of Israel. It starts out here, Israel's still high on the hog, high on the hill, if you can't think. But then they start to fall. By Acts 28, they have fallen.
Salvation's come to the Gentiles.
See? Three times Paul says, going, gone. And his heart's desire was to go to Israel and to save Israel. Not the kingdom ones. They're already saved. They're already in Christ. But they're going after, he's going after the heathen, he calls them.
No, it's his family.
And he says, so you must believe the gospel. And then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You will never trust Christ until you first hear the word of the truth of the gospel. That's what we're talking about. Until you hear that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, it gets in that spirit, and then you believe it in your soul, you're not going to get saved, guys. I don't care how you slice it and dice it. You can go to church. I like the old preachers down home. You can get baptized to the crawfish. Crawdads know your social security number. It's not going to save you. It's not going to save you coming here every Sunday. Being good. You know, it's not. And we know people like that, don't we? Mm-hmm. We know people that, the best people in the world, you want them there around your home. But they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't heard the gospel. And you know what? Shame on us for not sharing that with them. And I know it's hard, guys. I know it's hard to look at your mom and dad and brothers and sisters and say, what do you trust to get to heaven? Are you saved? And let them tell you. You don't have to beat them over the book. Say, this is what I believe. Say, okay. You know, but this is what the Bible says. You got to hear the words. We receive it, the Spirit of God, on the basis of faith. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now, think about that for a second. Who hath bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Now, Galatian was started by Paul through the words of God getting to them. They heard the word of faith. And then he says, O foolish, who hath bewitched, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. That's what they heard, mm-hmm. That truth, that gospel. This only would I have learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of what? Okay. Well, which is it, guys? Is that law going to set forth and bring you, make you saved in front of God? That law pointed at you and said, guilty. Mm-hmm. Guilty. And you know, I was reading in, we might not get to it today, but there's a verse in Nehemiah 10. And he said they were sealed. These were sealed. And they named a bunch of them. A bunch of them wrote the Bible. So there's a little remnant in the Bible. And it gets down there and said, you know, they agreed to go under the curse of the law. Nehemiah calls that a curse. And what do you know about the last word in your King James Bible, in Malachi? I think it's the last word. Malachi, turn over to it. Right before Matthew. The last of the so-called
curse.
See that? The earth with a curse. The last verse of the Old Testament, if you want to divide it up that way, it says it's curse. And if you study the book of Galatians, it talks about you have Christ came to redeem you from a curse. See? And you only find that through Paul. Because if you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're still under law, aren't they, guys? Mm-hmm. You know that to be true. They're under law in the first part of Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're under law. They go to the Jews only. They're under law. Paul, after God showing Peter about that sheet, he's showing there a change is coming. Okay? That's what he's showing Peter. But he go to Cornelius' house, and first thing he says to Cornelius, now Cornelius was a Gentile, but he's a devout man and gave much alms. So he wasn't just one of those, you know, heathen Gentiles, if I can say it without being ugly. But he walked in that house, and first thing he told Cornelius, it is unlawful for me to be here. Why?
Because of the law, Jews and Gentiles.
Jews couldn't eat with the Gentiles.
Together.
If you know where the temple was and know that they built had a 4-foot wall and it, writings on it, it meant death to a Gentile that crossed over that law, a wall. That's how serious it was. God made that division, by the way, didn't he? God, it went as far as clean and unclean animals. Man, they couldn't eat catfish. Shrimp. Some of you don't like shrimp, but I do. I like catfish. You talk down home catfish, you know, they'll fight you. But look, verse 3. Where am I at? Galatians 3:3. Are ye foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Walking in the spirit is walking under grace. Walking in the flesh is walking in the law. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Walking in the Spirit is who you are in Christ, and you can discern some things. You know, we're not walking above the ground. We know that. It's not talking about that. But what does that say? By hearing of faith. That's where I was getting at. Romans 8:9, I'll read it to you. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's people that you know that say they're saved that don't have the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ in them. And that verse just said, they're none of his. You could have a spirit in you and it's the devil, isn't it? You can have a spirit in you, and it's human spirit. And guys, I know I preach this and talk this over and over and over. Your human viewpoint and your human spirit can outdo Lord Jesus Christ's spirit or Satan's spirit. Because it's you. You throw your temper tantrums. I asked my wife to make cookies last night. She made the last 6 Tall House cookie things, you know. And she made them. They went out about this big. And I'm sewing a patch on my uniform. Yes, guys, I can sew. And I looked at them cookies, had nuts in them. And I'm like, what's these doing nuts in them? She said, that's all we have. She said, what do you want me to do? And I said, well, you should have asked nuts or no nuts. And she said, that's all we had was nuts. So I kicked around a little bit. I threw my little tantrum. But I ate them. They was good. They was.
As long as you didn't kick her.
No, I did. I was far, far away. But anyway, but you know, I'm talking about, that's flesh, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about? But if I had Spirit of God, which I do, and I yield to Him, like I said, these are the greatest cookies anyway. Thank you. They smell good. And they was good. I'm just trying. Yeah, I appreciate you. And I did thank her. But usually it's always too late, and guys. You women don't go through that, I know. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's big, guys. Mm-hmm. That's big. And I'm not talking about you're holier than I am, and I am holier than you. I know there's some things we go through that we had the Spirit of Christ in you if you believe Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. He's already living inside of you. Now, how do you tap into that resources is the key. Do you start reading Hosea to get your doctrine? Do you read Ezekiel? Do you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get the doctrine of Jesus Christ? He walked this earth and, you know, He loved everybody. So I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Can I share with you that people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they couldn't do it? So you're going to have somebody tell you that the first book after you get saved that you got to read the book of John?
John, yep.
And that's going to be doctrine for you to help you understand the love of God? Mm-hmm. Can I share with you in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ at night, and he God pointed to him and said, I marvel at you. You're supposed to be like a master, and you don't know these things? I bet you Nicodemus felt about this big. Can I tell you that John 3:16, for God so loved the world, was before Matthew chapter 10, when God told them not to go into the Gentiles? But everybody wants to jump on John chapter 3:16, says that's a gospel. Now, did God so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son? You know that to be true. But you got to understand the context that that world was a system that God set up. That's what He loved. That's what He came to love. It wasn't the green, green grass of home. He already had that. The earth, God says that the earth is the Lord's. It's His. It's that system. Those people. Let's look at some verse 13 and 14 right quick. The moment you trusted Christ exclusively, maybe I should, this is going to be good, if I had to say so myself. So I may not get all through it, but I'll back up in lesson 8. But the moment you trust God, Christ as your Savior, the following things take place. One is circumcision. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Philippians, Colossians. Two books to your right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made with hands.
Without.
That's a big deal. Who's doing that?
God.
And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. You know who's doing the operating there? Boy, Brother Leon wished God was doing the operating the other day, didn't you? Many of us going through the doctors, and we just look and we put our trust in that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to learn some of that when I get a little older. You know, things are coming. I know I've never had a broken bone, guys. You know? Yeah. I've never had any major surgeries, but I know it's coming. Yeah. Well, I'm serious. I ain't going to be the woman of the year or anything. anyway.
It's the recorder.
It's on. But anyway. But anyway, y'all like, oh, but anyway, look. But you're set what? Yeah, where are those cookies? But look, you are set what? Free. Amen. When they cut, when he done that circumcision, he cut you away. Regenerations, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the
Holy Ghost.
The renewing of the Holy Ghost. You're giving life by that regeneration. You was dead. Your spirit was dead. And dwelling of the Holy Ghost, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. Indwelling Holy Spirit. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what?
God.
Now, when you're lost, you couldn't say that. I'm sorry, but you can't. Your spirit was dead. Mm-hmm. You still got the conscience, and you're still in the body. But your spirit to communicate with God was dead. But Paul don't write to lost people, guys. Saved into the church. The Holy Spirit is inside the believers. The same Spirit that God raised the Lord Jesus Christ up is indwelling in you. You're baptized. You're in 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into what?
One body.
Not into a church building, not for church membership, into one body. And who is that body? That's what Paul talks about. You can only find that in Paul's epistles. Then Ephesians chapter 4. You already know what verse 13 says. That's where we're at. But Ephesians chapter 4. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. Your spirit is sealed. Your soul is sealed. You can't get out of it. And the sealer, who would you say, and many of you can foods. You ever can food? You got a jar, okay? You got a jar, and you put beans in it or pickles or whatever you want to, and then you put a seal on it, right? And then you seal it. Now, who is the sealer when you do that? Who?
We are when we do the seal on the jar, but God is the seal, it's the Holy Spirit.
Okay, this is where I'm talking about. When you refer that to your spiritual life and you just got saved, the sealer is God the Father. And you find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at this right quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 21 says, Now he which established us with you in Christ and anointed us is what?
God.
Who hath also sealed us, verse 22, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So God the Father is the sealer. He does that sealing. Now the believer is sealed. And the seal is who?
Jesus Christ.
Or what? Who are we talking about here? Holy Spirit. That's the seal. And you're in the body, Christ. You're in there. The Holy Spirit seals and God the Father seals it. And next lesson, we're going to look all through your Bible what that seal in the Bible means. And it's all through there. And once a believer believed God, they believed Jesus Christ in times past too, if you want to believe or not. Some of you may not. They were sealed once they believed that. And I believe salvation means salvation throughout the Bible. If it didn't, you might as well just throw it out. Once you did that initial salvation, that you trusted God, we trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. That's that initial salvation that we was eternal separated. That's why He died for our sin. It was that sin debt that kept us separated from God. And once we trusted that, okay, we're in Him. I believe it's all through the Bible. But next week, next lesson we'll pick up about the finished transaction, the security, the ownership, identification, the secrecy, the obligation, authority, and likeness. So there's a lot to do with who we are in Christ. And I tell you, every time I go through Ephesians, I think about how I need to grow personally. You know what I mean? Not corporately. We grow corporately. That's why we're here. But individually, my growth is established in Ephesians, where I know now it's a lot more than what I thought it was. You know what I mean? God, Father, we thank You for so much in our life. Once again, we thank You for the kindness that You have in the spirit of writing the Word of God. But yet, we know that it's powerful and quick. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.